Hey, so this is weird and surreal, but it makes sense that it be a bit surreal in doing this because it's been a surreal week. There's been just so much change, and I don't know about you, but just so much information. It's been like drinking from a fire hose this week, just information after information coming at me. And be honest, I didn't actually write a message or start to put anything together until yesterday because I wasn't sure where the world would be today. And so here we are, we're gathering together for the very first time through a virtual world, and I guess it's cool to be in 2020 when we have the opportunity to do this. So, like all of you, this has been a crazy week. I've been trying to manage with the kids at home and they're being off of school, and I've been trying to make work decisions and figure out what I need to do with business and trying to make personal decisions. Do we stay in? Do we go out? It's just been a busy, hectic week, and I thought it was important for us tonight to just take a moment and slow down. And to pause and to rest. And I know that's hard to turn our minds off and to just kind of focus and be mindful and present in the moment. But I want to ask you to do that. That even though you're looking at a computer screen or your phone screen or however you're seeing this right now, that we clear our mind. And I thought the best way to do that, we look at the Old Testament. It seemed to be the Psalms are where people went to find solace and to find peace and to find rest. And I know if you've ever been through any kind of difficult stretch of your life, maybe you find peace and solace and rest in the Psalms. So I thought that's how we would start tonight, is just together as a church. And we can't hear each other, I realize that, but together as a church, we're just going to read and we're going to say Psalm 23 as a prayer. And so Karen's running the slides tonight. She's going to put the words up on the screen. And wherever you're at tonight, if you would just say the Psalm 23 with me, the Psalm of David. And it begins.
Oh, you should right there.
No.
So how far have we not had sound? Hey, if somebody would share with me real quick, did you hear the Lord's Prayer when I said it, or did you not hear it? If somebody would just post that real quick.
Better?
So we have sound?
Okay.
And did you guys hear the Lord's Prayer? Not the Lord's Prayer, Psalm 23, I'm sorry. I've said that wrong a couple of times, but Psalm 23, did you guys hear that? Did you hear anything tonight?
Since the slides, they haven't heard.
Since the slides, you haven't heard anything. But you hear me now?
Yes.
All right. I'm not sure where you've heard to or where you haven't, but I'm just going to pick up and move forward from where I'm at. So everybody, I assume, can hear me now. And this is the joy of doing something different and experimental. So I appreciate your patience and bearing with us. And, you know, it's kind of fun. Being on the edge and trying something new. But this week, I said, and I don't know if you heard, that it's felt like I'm going through the stages of grief. And you start with denial. Last week at our worship gathering, I think I was still in denial. I thought that this thing would blow over and maybe we'd still be gathering together and walking through it and tried to avoid the inevitable. And then I'm in denial, like I'm not going to get this virus and it's only for people on cruise ships and not for the rest of us. And so I'm in denial, and then I move to anger. You know, that's the second stage of going through stuff like this, the stages of grief, and it's anger. And if you saw my live stream test on Wednesday or Thursday, whatever I did that, I think I was a little angry that day. I didn't want to do church this way because this isn't the way for me that I would prefer to do church. And so I watched it back, and the look on my face was one of angry or one of anger. And by the way, yes, Kenny, I did have pants on. I did wear pants tonight for you guys as well. So even though this is like this, we're wearing pants. I don't know if you guys are, but I am. But there's just anger. Maybe you experienced anger when all the idiots went out and bought all the toilet paper and you couldn't find it or whatever. And so we go through anger, and then the next stage of grief is bargaining, and it's kind of this back and forth. Sadness for the kids who I know are seniors in high school and graduate and couldn't say goodbye to their friends and couldn't go to prom, and I was sad for March Madness, and March Madness turns to March Sadness. And you know, I've been watching reruns of basketball all week and kind of eating through my sadness. And I think by tonight here on Saturday, and I'm assuming our technology is working and you're hearing me here tonight, but I think I finally have moved to acceptance. And I hope that maybe you've moved to acceptance. that this, that we're all experiencing right now, is our new reality. And so Karen, this week, we were driving in the car, and she reminded me, she didn't know where the words came from, but she just said, life is what happens to you while you're busy making other plans. And of course, that's not in the Bible. She didn't think that. She didn't know who said it, but it's John Lennon, the great theologian John Lennon, who said that. And of course, John Lennon is not a Christian. He was a known atheist, but that is a very biblical point, that we can plan and plan and plan, but in the end, God is the one who and life is what will happen according to his timeline and his purpose and for his glory. As a church, we've been stepping through and studying the Gospel of Luke. And I don't go back often and listen to my own sermons. It's kind of hard to hear yourself talk. But this week, I decided to go back and listen to the sermon I gave on worry. And that's from Luke chapter 12. And I don't worry about this virus, but I do worry a lot about how we're going to continue as a church, what this is going to look like for us as a church, and how long it's going to last. And I do worry about my insurance agency and about my staff and about our customers and what this is going to play out like. And in the middle of this week, I started to feel very heavy, and it was in the midst of that kind of anger part of the stages of grief. And so I needed to hear my own words. And they're not really my words, but it's me preaching the words of Jesus. I needed to hear him say that we need to think of the ravens and the lilies, that if God is to provide for them, then how much more will he provide for me? And I needed to be reminded that worry is a false prophet. That false prophet that's predicting things that will likely never happen, robbing me of life, producing absolutely no fruit. And I needed to hear Jesus say, "Don't worry, little sheep. There's better days ahead." And so after listening to that sermon, I posted it to my newsfeed. I wanted to be a source of comfort for others. And a short while later, I got a text back from one of my Facebook friends, just an acquaintance. And he said, "Man, that really hit home. I haven't been to church in a long time, but maybe I should." And so it made me think that back to a week we talked about our struggles and to not quit when we're in our struggles, but to use them to be salt and light, to keep adding flavor, to keep planting seeds. And as I just thought about all the things in Luke that we've been talking about as a church and just how applicable they are, how much they apply to our life, I just thought about how real God's word is and how strong it is if we can stay in God's word as a church. And I started to think back to all the sermons we've done through Luke and how much application they have with what we're going through. And I think that's what the writer of Hebrews meant when he wrote that God's word is alive, that it's more powerful than a double-edged sword. And so as I move this week from denial into anger and then into acceptance, I also had to come to terms with the reality, and maybe you haven't thought about this, that there's very little chance that we'll be together, at least in one place, for Easter. And that made me sad. I mean, I'm not a big fan of Christmas. I've been honest about that. I wish the virus would have been over Christmas. I wouldn't have mind skipping Christmas, but I love Easter. It is my favorite holiday, and it's my favorite time as a church, and it's my favorite message that I get to preach all year. But you see, God wasn't surprised by this virus. God couldn't be stopped by the cross, and the cross couldn't stop Easter. And so this silly virus won't stop our Easter in 2020. And we'll put something really cool and really special together, and even in a virtual way, we'll still be together. And you can type an amen if you can hear me and if you agree with that. As a church, we've had three pillars that have been our foundation from the beginning, that every week when we come together, when we gather, I try to keep in mind and I try to focus on, and that's deep relationships, deep study, and deep service. Those are our three pillars as a church, and they've been there since day number one. And for most of us, this virus, this coronavirus, it'll quickly become a very distant memory. And it'll feel like a hurricane that we rushed around and we knew the hurricane was coming and we were in the cone of uncertainty and we hunkered down and we prepared and the storm came through and we cleaned up the mess and it was bad and it was difficult, but becomes a memory fairly soon. Or maybe this will be like the hurricane that was predicted and everybody's running around and they're trying to find the propane and they're trying to find the bottled water and it's all sold out, and then that hurricane, it just glances the coast, it misses us, and we all breathe a sigh of relief. And I hope that's the case. By the way, I appreciate all the memes about hunkering down in Southwest Florida. It's so much easier with Wi-Fi and electricity. I can get an amen on that too. But as I move this week into the acceptance phase of this virus for our church, I started to actually get a little bit excited about this opportunity that we have. Because you see, we can become complacent. And we set out as a church to think outside the box, to be an experimental church, to prove that the church truly was more than a building, that it is every human being that makes up the church who are all joined together through Christ as our cornerstone. And so tonight, I'm not going to give any big sermon, but I want to do some planning and I want to give some guidance to how we can grow as a church through this time even more than we have in the past in deep relationship, deep service, and deep study through the coming, however long this lasts. And so let me start with deep relationships. Now, again, I've appreciated that everybody out there has really stepped up their meme game in the last 2 weeks. Posted, and I don't know who's coming up with this stuff, but it's good stuff. So I appreciate that. But I want to encourage you as a church that maybe we move beyond posting the memes. That as a church, we use social media to be a source of comfort for our community around us and for each other. In the coming weeks, relationships is going to look different because we're socially isolated. We're away from each other. And so that means to grow in relationship, we might have to get out of our comfort zone. And if you can't tell, this doing this right here, right now, is uncomfortable for me. And I went online last Sunday to see what other churches were doing, and I watched several of their live streams. Some were good, some not so much. But as a whole, and I don't mean any offense to any other church, and I'm only saying this because we're in our private group right now, but a lot of it felt very fake, and it felt very forced. And I've always, from the beginning, wanted to be honest and transparent and not fake as a church. And so this is just really uncomfortable for me. Secondly, if you've ever heard my voicemail message, if you've ever tried to call me, generally if you call my phone, you get a voicemail and it basically says, hey, it's 2020. I'm probably not going to call you back. I'm probably not going to answer my phone. Send me a text message. Here's my email address. And if you leave a message, good luck. I prefer texting or face-to-face, one of the two. But I don't like screens and I don't like phones. But in the coming weeks, I've committed to doing more of this over a screen. And yes, if you call me, I'll even answer my phone and gasp. I might even make a phone call or two to some of you guys myself. And so the government has asked us as Americans to practice social distancing. That's a new word in all of our vocabulary that we'll never forget. But I don't want us to turn social distancing into social isolation because that's not good for our mental health. And so to practice social distancing without social isolation, that means, like me, that you are probably going to have to get out of your comfort zone. You might need to go into your phone and open up your contacts and just start sending text messages to random people who are your friends. You might have to actually go to the phone part of your app and learn how to make a phone call again if you've forgotten how to do that. And I want to challenge you that you get out of your comfort zone on social media for each other so that we can grow our relationships. I've been watching a lot of the videos posted on social media by celebrities, and Yo-Yo Ma, if you don't know who that is, he's the greatest cellist to ever live in our generation. Quick story, back in my childhood, I was in the Louisville Youth Orchestra, and we got to play for Yo-Yo Ma when he visited Louisville, Kentucky, so I got to meet the guy and got to be a part of his backing ensemble as he played the cello, so pretty cool. But I've been seeing him all week posting videos online, and they're not high-produced, they're not super fancy. It's just somebody holding a phone and him playing the cello because he believes that provides a source of comfort. And while you and I are probably not great cellists, actually I'll be pretty sure that none of us are, otherwise we'd be asking you to play the cello at church. But you and I, instead of posting memes or instead of posting articles of fear, I think we can post on social media things of comfort. I constantly repeat to all of you at Refuge that everyone here is a pastor. It's not just me, it's not just our leaders, but all of us can shepherd and all of us can pastor, which means all of us can be a source of comfort for each other. And so I want to challenge you this week, either on your own Facebook timeline or Instagram or Snapchat or whatever it is you use, or maybe if you're not comfortable doing that, just in our private group page, that you go online and you post something. And that can be a live video like what I'm doing here. It's pretty simple. You get out your phone, you hit the live video button, and you start talking. And so I want to challenge you to maybe post a video of your thoughts or what you're going through or your emotions that you're experiencing. If you're a musician, maybe post yourself doing a song. Or I thought this week, Kylie, if you want to play the saxophone and post it, that would be a source of comfort just to see that and smile and know that you're learning and you're growing as a musician. Dwayne, if you want to do a spoken word poem instead of just writing it out, that would be a blessing to all of us. And so I encourage you to do that. And if you don't feel comfortable doing that, and I hope that you are, maybe just write out an original thought, just a paragraph or two of you know, something that can uplift the rest of us. And maybe you just want to share a Bible verse, and that's fine. But I encourage you, if you share a Bible verse, maybe include a little paragraph on why you're posting that Bible verse and what it meant to you in that day. And I want to just ask you to refrain from clogging up our group with just a bunch of memes. That's great, and that's good in a time. But I want us this week in our little Facebook group that you're on right now watching this video to get really active, that we just start posting and sharing with each other. Because believe it or not, I think we can grow our relationships in a great way by doing this. And I'll share a quick story. I'm on a community of Allstate agents. It's called PAG, Positive Allstate Agent Group. About 200 of us, so about the size of our church. And most of these people I rarely met. In fact, for 3 years, it was just a Facebook group. And finally, I met some of these people at a conference. And it is true that we all felt like we knew each other and were instant friends just through a Facebook group. So through social media, I think, if we do it properly, we can actually grow and develop our relationships through this period of time in the coronavirus. So that's deep relationships. Number two is study. As a church, we want to go deep into God's Word because we can see how applicable it is to our lives. And a lot of the deep study part, I realize, falls on me as the lead teaching pastor at Refuge. And so in the coming weeks, I plan to get back to writing normal, regular sermons and getting back into the Gospel of Luke. It may be a shorter format because this is a different style of teaching, and maybe I'll do it as a podcast. I'll mix it up and I'll experiment. Maybe I'll even post some old good sermons that I think are applicable to our situation. But every week, I hope to also put together a list of questions that go along with the message, and that you can gather in groups of, you know, 5 or 6 or up to 10 people, and you can discuss the topic and listen to the sermon and then get together and discuss that Bible verse, and we can grow and we can deeply study Scripture together. We're not supposed to gather together in public, but a lot of you in your homes right now, I want to encourage you, already have a small group going on, and that's called your family. And so I want to encourage those of you with kids at home, don't waste this quarantine with them. You've got an opportunity for probably one of the most special times in their growth and in their childhood and in your family. And so let them watch you work and talk to them about the work that you're doing from home, and let them study the Bible with you and have discussions with them over whatever it is that you're studying, or maybe we're studying together as a church. And if you have young kids at home, if they're preschoolers or elementary age, I've been talking to Tanya, and she's going to put together emails to help you out so you can have discussions and you can be in line with what we're teaching as a church. So be on the lookout for those emails coming. And if Tanya doesn't have your email, then send it to me or send it to her, and we'll get you on that list so you're getting that information. And for those of you who do not have families, maybe your kids have left and you're empty nesters, or you're single, I want to encourage you, if you're comfortable, then maybe gather together from time to time. If you're healthy and things are good and you promise to be sanitary and all that, maybe get together 5 or 6 of you, because again, this is social distancing, but it shouldn't be social isolation. And so the church is open. If you ever want to use that to gather together with a small group, I want to make that available and open to you. And then lastly, I just want to talk about how we continue in deep service, because I truly believe this may be our moment as a church to shine. We're at the beginning of this crisis, and we don't know how bad it'll be. Maybe it'll hit us head on. Maybe it'll glance off the coast and head back out to sea. I don't know, but we're at the beginning of this. And I thought this week in 1 John chapter 4, John writes, there is no fear in love. There is no fear in love. And so right now, doing what you're doing, sitting at home, staring at a screen, listening to me talk, you are loving your neighbor. You're, another new word, you're flattening the curve. And so when we're meeting like this, it's not out of fear. It's not out of trying to self-preserve ourselves, but it's out of love for the vulnerable who this sickness might actually kill. And so doing this, what we're doing right now is loving our neighbor. I saw a church on the news last night refusing to stop gathering. And I'm like, man, what damage are you doing to the reputation of the church? I want you to also know that you can love your neighbors by reaching out to the elderly. And if you know somebody who's over the age of 60 or 70, man, reach out to them, talk to them, see what they're doing. And for a lot of us, that probably means our parents. And so we need to be talking to our parents. And again, this week I met with a church that has mostly older members, age 70 and over, and I reminded them, you know, hey, as a church at Refuge, we're quote unquote a younger church and we're under 70. A lot of us are. And so we're here and we're available to help. And I hope they take me up at that offer. And as a church, we can assist and help them. But going back to what I've been talking about, how the Bible just keeps coming around and it's so applicable to our life. A few weeks ago, we talked about the parable of the Good Samaritan. And if you remember, the lawyer asked the question, well, who is my neighbor? And what he was really getting at is yeah, you know, I love my neighbor. You know, I like the idea of love. I like to post memes about love. I like to sing songs about love. But Jesus said, no, you don't get it. To truly love your neighbor means you got to take some risk to love them. It means you've got to meet their physical needs. And it means you may need to meet their financial needs. And that may come at a substantial cost to you. And so as our deep service and thinking about this, that laid heavy on my heart this week and thinking about the parable of the Good Samaritan. Because I know there are those in our church right now who are losing their jobs, who won't be working for the next 8 to 10 to 12, however many weeks there are. That means there are going to be people in our church that are struggling to pay their rent, that they're going to feel like they're alone in their struggle. They're going to feel like that man on the side of the road just left for dead. And remember what the priest and the Levite did. This is a Jew and a Jew, and the priest and the Levite both, they just walked past their brother in need. And I don't want to be the priest, and I don't want to be the Levite, and I don't want us as a church to be the priest or the Levite. And so we started some steps in that direction this week. If you visit our website, and don't do it right now, stay on this cast, but if you visit our website after this, just go to refuge.church. There's an announcement on the front page saying that we're closed, so nobody stops by. And then there's a link, and maybe this is a terrible name for the link, but it was just the shortest, simplest thing I could come up with. It's just refuge.church/virus. And I made that link so it's a one-stop shop, everything related to Refuge and the coronavirus. And you can go there at any time to see when our next live stream is and kind of what we're doing as a church. But on that page, I've added a link where you can request financial assistance. And so our leadership team, I sent an email to them this week, and they agreed to this, that we went ahead and seeded $10,000 in financial assistance to anyone within our body that needs help right now, that are laying on the side of the road that needs financial assistance. And I want to thank you because that's your money in that account. That those of you who have given to Refuge over the last years, that's your money sitting there that now we can use to help brothers and sisters in need. I'm going to refer back to Acts chapter 2. It's been a big foundation for our church. Acts chapter 2, verse 44 through 45 says, "And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need." And so I want to encourage you, if you're a giver to Refuge, you're financially generous, that you continue to give through this time. We still have rent to pay. That doesn't go away just because we're not meeting there. But I want to also encourage you to give specifically to this fund. We seeded it with $10,000, and there's some specific instructions. You can look on the website, but there's a link there that you can give specifically to this fund so we can grow it above $10,000 and have more resources available to our members. And number two, if you're going through some stuff financially right now, and man, there's going to be a lot of people, and I know we probably don't have nearly enough money to help everybody and all of their needs, but if you have a need, then request help. And sometimes that's even harder than it is to give for a lot of us to say, yeah, I'm struggling right now. I need some money to pay my mortgage this month because I haven't worked in 2 weeks or whatever that is. And to keep this fair and because it is a limited resource, we've meant this for members of Refuge only, which is why I'm announcing this in this group page, because I know everybody listening right now is a member of our church, and we keep that definition pretty loose. But if you're an attender of Refuge and you've ever given anything to Refuge in the past, then you're considered a member of our church. And right now, things are happening fast, but we know people are going to be out of work. We know there's going to be a loss of income. And so this fund is specifically for those who have been impacted by this crisis. And again, that address is www.refuge.church/virus. Now, I'm convinced that through all of this, we're going to grow. Personally and as a church, I truly believe we're going to grow. And again, if I can refer back to Acts chapter 2, there's a verse, if you walk into our church every week, it's on the left-hand side as you're walking into the sanctuary. It's Acts chapter 2, verse 44, and it's our instructions for every time we gather together like this. And it says, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings, study of Scripture, to fellowship, being in relationship with each other, to prayer, we prayed Psalm 23, and then lastly, to the sharing of meals, and the NLT says, including the Lord's Supper. We've been working through the Gospel of Luke, and we're talking about the meals of Jesus. And so I want to end tonight with the Lord's Supper, with doing communion together. And you might be wondering, well, how the heck are we going to do that together? Well, we'll get to that. But every meal in Luke's Gospel that we've looked at to this point, and there's a lot of meals in Luke's Gospel, every one of those meals is leading to one final meal, that meal in the upper room. That meal where Jesus serves those that he loves by washing their feet. That meal where Jesus breaks bread and he feeds their bodies and he feeds their souls. But most importantly, it's that meal where Jesus offers forgiveness. I was watching 60 Minutes a couple of weeks ago, and they were interviewing somebody from the Department of Health. And the Department of Health spokesman said their job through this crisis was to tell the truth about the sickness, to not give any of the ancillary stuff, but to tell the hard truth about this sickness. Our job as a church is the same, to tell the truth about the sickness we call sin, that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. It's the story of the Bible, that God created us to be perfect, and in relationship with him, we mess that up, and it took Jesus to give us grace and mercy to bring us back into that divine relationship. That is the gospel. That's the good news of the Bible. And if that's not the reason we come together, if that's not the core of everything we do, if we're not reminded of that, then we're really nothing more than a social club. And there's nothing wrong with social clubs. They can do a lot of good and a lot of great stuff, but we're more than that. And so tonight, I thought it was important as we end that we remember that core. And so I just want to read to you what Jesus says in Luke chapter 22 as he's meeting with the disciples around the table. Luke says this in verse 19. He says, he took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and gave it to the disciples, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. After supper, he took another wine and said, this cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood, which is poured out as a sacrifice for you. Tonight we started with David's psalm in Psalm 23, and in that he says, Lord, you prepare a table before me. When David wrote that, he had no idea how grand that table was, and how grand the feast of that table, that feast of grace and mercy and love, would be. And so as we wrap up tonight, Toad's just going to be uncomfortable as we move through this. But I think uncomfortable is the new norm for the foreseeable future. So here's what I want you to do. I'm about to log off and I'm about to end this feed. And I'm going to end it. And on the screen, there's going to be a song that plays. It's Yo-Yo Ma just playing a song, a classical song of comfort. It's a beautiful song, and he's a beautiful musician. And as that song just kind of plays in the background, I want you to get up wherever you're at right now and walk into your pantry and find some bread or find some crackers, whatever you got. It doesn't matter. Just some bread or some crackers to represent Jesus' body. And then I want you to, you know, find some wine or go into your refrigerator and find some Coke or whatever it is that you have in there, or maybe just a glass of water, whatever you have to drink, and get something that can represent his blood. And I want you to take those two emblems and I want you to place them on your kitchen table. And then if you're in a group, then somebody in your group say a prayer. And if you're alone, then pray over those things. And as the memes go, or in the words of Forrest Gump, and just like that, Refuge Church shared a meal together. So I want to encourage you, I want to challenge you right now to get up out of your seats and go do that. The table is open. God bless. Stay safe. The sound starts.